time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning John Rep and Cindy Cole. John Rep and Cindy Cole are representatives for the State of Washington to the Public Banking Institute, a national organization working on the development of state-owned banks. They are both also founding members of Just Sustainable Economy, a local organization focusing on alternative economies that further the values of peace, justice, and environmental sustainability. And they have been involved in the creation of a public bank here in Washington State, having written the first draft of a bill to establish a Bank of Washington State, also known as the Washington Investment Trust. John and Cindy, thank you both for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
So start out, tell us a bit about the Public Banking Institute and how you both got involved in this issue.
Well, the Public Banking Institute is about a year old. It's a national organization. Alan Brown is the president. We first became interested in the issue when we read an article in Yes Magazine of December 2008 in which she talked about the publicly owned state bank as an option for funding a New Deal, a Green New Deal in particular. And we thought that was a great idea that fit the Just Sustainable Economy idea. And so we got interested in public banking. And then about a year later, we heard that Bob Hasegawa, Representative Bob Hasegawa from the 11th District, was talking to everyone he knew about the idea. He had heard about it somewhere. And so we got together, and he asked us to write a bill because he didn't have one. And he submitted it to the 2009 session. And so this year is the third year, the third bill, and it's improving. Bob has had to educate a lot of people down there in Olympia, not only legislators, but the staff. And we have done what we call the outside game, talking to people in the public about it. And the idea has resonated. It's probably the internet and also the fact that Wall Street crashed the national and world economy from their antics. And I think the main problem is that Wall Street has taken the deposits of people all over the world and used them to speculate on the world markets. And they can make easy money that way. And they are no longer investing in our farms and factories here. And the state bank is a way to take some of the money that they now have and put it in a local productive economy. For instance, most people don't know that Washington State does not have a vault where they keep the tax money and the fees that the citizens pay. It goes, all that money goes straight into the Bank of America. And then what the Bank of America does not use to pay the state's bills, and that's about $2 billion daily average that is invested by the state treasurer, and that's invested in U.S. Treasuries, short-term and short-term paper with a number of banks. About 70% of them are branches of Wall Street banks. And so the state money is not being used by the state itself. It's being used by those banks.
Right. What's also upsetting about this is Bank of America is using its money to, well, in the last couple of years, to buy a $7 billion stake in China Construction Bank. And they've also laid off, well, just in the last year, they've laid off 30,000 employees. Is this where we want to have our state's money?
Right. Yeah. There's been a number of movements, as you probably know or your listeners know, where people want to take their money out of the branches of the Wall Street banks and put it in local community banks or credit unions. It's the Move Your Money movement. And the Occupy Seattle helped further that on November 5th. Well, we think the state of Washington should move its money. And the best place to put its money is in its own bank, because that way it can have the leverage to create more credit in our state. And that's what this current bill, House Bill 34 and Senate Bill 6310, will do. It will, however, not be a bank, as I say, robust as the Bank of North Dakota, because it will be loaning money to local governments, school boards, water districts, cities, counties, for infrastructure project, and to universities and colleges for student loans. And it will also be giving out the electronic benefit cards that now Chase, the state contracts with Chase, and Chase charges 85 cents a transaction using that card. And a state bank would not charge that much at all.
Yeah, what that means is that the welfare recipients are charged 85 cents every time they do an ATM withdrawal. It's
gouging.
It's gouging. It's really gouging. I think what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about North Dakota. When John and I were first asked to do the bill, we kind of panicked because we'd never done a bill before. And so John Googled how to write a bill. And then came up with a seventh grade lesson plan. And so we thought if seventh graders can do it, then we can do it. So because North Dakota is the only state in the union that has a state bank, we emailed them and then also looked on their website and we were able to get a copy of the original bill that established the Bank of North Dakota in 1919. At the time that the Bank of North Dakota was established, the farmers there, it was, 99% farmers, were being gouged by the big banks in Minneapolis and the big Wall Street banks. They were paying huge fees, and they were also being gouged by the railroads and by the granaries. So in 1919, the Nonpartisan League swept into power, had, you know, the judiciary, the legislature, and the governorship, and they set up their own bank so that they could have loans to the farmers at a much more reasonable rate. And unfortunately, the first 20 years or so, there was a drought, and there was also the depression that occurred. However, what is really unique about a public bank is that it's a not-for-profit bank, and the reason that it's established is for the benefit of the people of the state. So there were many farmers during the drought and during the depression that could not pay the loan that they had on their property that was held by the Bank of North Dakota. And what happened was that in 1930, there was a moratorium on debt, and the bank stopped, they foreclosed on the properties, but they did not kick the farmers off their land. They allowed them to stay on their farms, and then when farm prices improved, they sold the farms back to the farmer at the cost that the bank had in them. That's a difference between a profit bank or a for-profit private bank and a public bank that's established for the people of a particular state. So anyway, it's a totally different mission. Also, the Bank of North Dakota did not buy any toxic paper. They didn't have risky subprime loans. They didn't do credit default swaps. It just didn't fit, you know, their mission. And so our vision, John, and the vision of Representative Hasegawa, is to model the Washington Investment Trust on the Bank of North Dakota. That's what John and I did with the first bill. It was changed quite a bit. This bill is quite a bit different, doesn't go quite as far because there are constitutional questions about the state loaning its credit. So it's been written in such a way to try to not have problems on that particular score. But definitely the Bank of North Dakota is you know, really the model. Can you say anything more about?
Well, I just wanted to say that these bubbles and crashes have been going on for hundreds of years. People who don't know history are maybe surprised, but it has happened, and there have been a number of state banks in the United States in the 19th century to deal with the bubbles and crashes that happened then, and there were a number of state banks and public banks all over the world. I think after World War II, all the banking in Germany was public, and we know that they had have had a very strong economy since the end of World War II. I think now a number of banks have gone private, but still, I think 50% of it's public. And again, as Cindy said, the difference is that a public bank is meant to serve the public interests, and they generally do not get involved in these exotic instruments and bubbles that crash economies. So that's our long-term vision. I will say that this bank, the Washington Investment Trust, as it's written, leaves out the question of how to capitalize the bank, and that's important.
That's the John's talking about the current legislation.
House Bill 2434.
Right.
Which we think is a good bill. It's a good start, and we want your listeners to try to educate themselves and talk to their representatives and senators about this to get it passed, because it's a good start. Again, the question of capitalization, it's something that's going to come down the line because the same thing happened in North Dakota. They passed the bill, and then they had the problem of how to capitalize it. There's three options, traditionally. One is the state legislature appropriates money. Well, that's clearly not going to happen in this era of deficits. Two, they could sell bonds. Now, the state is up against the debt limit now because they can only, have so much debt. And we're close to the debt limit now. But there are some bonds that the state sells that are not considered part of the debt because it has an independent revenue stream. For instance, some of the transportation bonds. The independent revenue stream is the gasoline taxes. So we think that if the state sells bonds to start this bank, that it would be like that because it would have its own income. As the state loans money, it will be collecting interest on that money, and that would be the income to pay off the bondholders. The drawback to that is that it would take a little longer for the state to get on its feet, but there's a good study by a group called the Center for State Innovation. If you Google that, you can find that on the web. And they have shown that within 3 years, the bank would start making money if they sold bonds. The third way is the most innovative and probably the most robust, and that is to just count the state's assets as the capital of the bank. And like a big bank owns buildings and real estate and has investments on its own account, and the state of Washington has investments and buildings and roads and bridges, and that would be the capital. As I said, the state taxes and fees that would be deposited in this bank are not all immediately used to pay the state's bills. There's a time lag, and that the committee that wrote this current bill, the Infrastructure Financing Task Force, were shown charts that indicated there's an average of about $2 billion between the money coming in and the money going out as a flow. And that is the money that would then be used as loan capital that could be used to start loaning money to government like states or counties. It could finance its own infrastructure that way. And that would cut its financing in half, probably.
Right. Right now, the state banks with Bank of America, I think that we said that, but also any bonds that are sold or bought by the state, they're sold through banks and through the big private banks. The state has about $2 billion a year that it pays for its debt service. And that, once the bank, the WIT, Washington Investment Trust, gets going, that could be totally eliminated. Bank of North Dakota doesn't have any debt service. That would save $2 billion. That's now, again, going into the coffers of big banks, as well as some other smaller local banks, too. But that could all be in-house at that time.
Right. So. Everyone who has bought a house knows that they often, when they borrow the money and end up paying it over 30 years, they've paid twice for it.
And that's what we do with most of our infrastructure projects.
Yeah.
We pay twice.
So school buildings, roads, bridges, a lot of the capital infrastructure in the state has been built using bonds. The city has bonds, and that is what this WIT would be funding for Washington and all its governmental entities.
And how has the Bank of North Dakota fared since you talked about kind of their early years?
Right, yes, yeah. The Bank of North Dakota is currently a very robust bank. They have, it's about, what is it, 2.5?
4 billion.
Oh, 4 billion.
Dollar
bank. They have a loan portfolio of $2.6 billion, and they are able to give back to the state a certain amount of their earnings. The state of North Dakota is not running a budget deficit. Their unemployment rate, the last time we checked, which was a few months ago, is 3.4%. And another big thing about North Dakota is that they did not have any bank failures. Here in Washington State, we've had 15 failures of our local banks, our local community banks, because of the crash, often through no fault of their own, just because of the situation and the tightening of credit, and also that the FDIC has put in more stringent loan requirements. You have to have a larger capital base before you can loan a certain amount. And this hurt small banks. So what you've seen is like Umpqua Bank from Oregon come in and take over, you know, Evergreen. So you've seen a lot of mergers occur. In North Dakota, that didn't happen. The reason being is because in North Dakota, the Bank of North Dakota partners with community banks. The North Dakota actually has the more community banks per capita than any other state in the union. When you have a community bank, they're interested in the community. They know the people that bank with them, and they invest in the community. When you have a large bank, such as Bank of America or Chase, that have, you know, all these branches, which make it very convenient, but their offices are way back in New York or whatever. And I know that I've had friends who have been able to get loans with Bank of America over the years. This one friend of mine's in construction, and he says now when he goes to Bank of America, the people here in the branches can't make any decisions without going back and checking it out with the higher ups. And, you know, they don't have an interest in the community. So I think it's really something to say about that the Bank of North Dakota has kept North Dakota stabilized. Now, there's some argument about that. There are people who say, well, North Dakota has oil. And that's a really big thing. And it is true. They are gangbusters with oil right at the moment and have a huge reservoir. However, a few years back, the Center for State Innovation did a study, and they studied North Dakota, Montana, which also has oil,
Wyoming,
and South Dakota. And from those four states, North Dakota had the most stable economy. And the states are very similar in population. They're agrarian primarily, and they all have oil. They all have natural resources. So we don't think, we think that's kind of a bogus excuse as to, you know, why North Dakota is going well. Alaska has oil. California has oil. You know, both of those economies are having trouble. So yeah. North Dakota is extremely,
right,
you know, doing really well.
We like to say that the Bank of North Dakota is like a mini Fed for North Dakota. Now, I know a lot of people don't like the Federal Reserve, and I have feelings about it as well. But the Federal Reserve in New York is paying attention to the Wall Street banks in New York and the world economy, and it's not interested in what's happening in the states. And but so it would be good to have a mini Fed in Washington State to look after our economy and after our small banking smaller banking sectors. And that's what happens in North Dakota, that the bank actually stands behind the banks, the smaller banks, and it has over the years encouraged them to be conservative. And another thing I say is, we don't want our banks to be innovative. We want our computer industry to be innovative. We don't want our banks to be innovative, because they come up with these things over and over again, and they crash the economy. I think Paul Volcker said the most innovative thing that he's seen in the banking sector in years is the ATM machines. Well, we went way beyond that when we went into derivatives. And that's what didn't happen in North Dakota. The small banks did not buy derivatives. Some small banks here did buy derivatives, and they got caught.
So in the legislation or elsewhere, what mechanisms have you seen that will ensure that this Bank of Washington remains conservative, and as well as people, when the latest article came out in the Seattle Times about it, we're talking about, oh, this is the last thing we need, is a state bank, you know, for the lefty Democrats down there in Olympia to run.
Right. Good question.
Yeah. You go ahead.
Well, they, the bank will be structured so that the three statewide elected officers will be the commission, and they will be the head of the bank, and then the governor, lieutenant governor, and the
treasurer. Yeah, the treasurer. And this makes the head of the bank or the commission accountable to the people, right?
It's
they're
electable.
Voted into office, right. They can be voted out of office.
Right. And then there is an advisory board made up of 11 citizens, I believe.
Right. There's a transition board that will actually help with the setup of the bank itself and the structure of, or the Washington Investment Trust.
Right.
And that is a transition team. They'll also decide and make recommendations as to capitalization, since that still is, you know, in flux. There will have to be legislation put through the legislature to capitalize the bank, so this, there will be another step in that. That board, which is the transition board, will be phased out in 2013, because their job will be done. The WIT will go into effect at that time, or be totally established by that time, according to this, to the present legislation. And then there will be an advisory board appointed by the governor that will advise the bank. Written into the legislation is that the bank will have quarterly reports that it must give to the commission, which the commission is the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the treasurer. They will be audited and have the same regulations as any chartered bank in the state of Washington. The Department of Financial Institutions director will audit the bank at least once a year, and there can also be outside audits also done on the bank. Written into the legislation is also that there shall be sound banking practices, a certain number of people on the advisory board will be bankers or people with a financial background. We want this run by bankers. We don't want it run by politicians. And then, of course, there's safeguards so that no loans can be made to any commission members or any relatives of commission members or any people who are on the advisory board or relatives or acquaintances of those people. Try to keep a conflict of interest out of it.
I want to say one thing. There was, I think, some disinformation in the Seattle Times article. I don't think that there are currently agencies in the state government that would do what this bank will do. It will be a bank. Yeah. There are a revolving fund in the state agency that does loan some money, but they get their money from the private banks. This bank will be the bank itself, and it will be the people's bank. It would be not the same at all.
Right. The thing about revolving funds or these agencies that do make loans is that they cannot leverage in the same way that a bank can leverage. Banks can hold 10% or 20% back, but they can loan 80% more.
Right. The way I explain it is that if I have money in my bank account and I want a loan to my daughter, it's subtracted from my bank account. But when a bank loans money, it's added to their capital, and the deposit remains.
Mm-hmm. That's a privilege that the banking system has that no one else has. And that's why it's important that we get that for the benefit of the people of Washington State. It'll work for us.
All right. We have just over a minute left. So how can people find out more about this issue and get involved?
Okay. Sure. Well, we have a website, WA, publicbankproject.org, that's full of information. I would encourage people who want to go into depth to go to CSI's website, Center for State Innovation, and look around for papers on public banking and state banks. Also, there's a think tank called Demos that has written a very good paper. JustSustainableEconomy.org has some information about banking. Cindy?
Yeah, and we're also on Facebook, Washington Public Bank Coalition and Occupy the Money System.
All right. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you both very much for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
We've just been talking with John Rep and Cindy Cole. They are both representatives for the state of Washington to the Public Banking Institute and involved with the creation of a public bank here in Washington State, also known as the Washington Investment Trust. And you can find out more via their website, wapublicbankproject.org.